I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I'm so glad to be with you today. Good morning. What's going on? I hope you're ready for Fun with Melly. We're going to be talking about what is President Trump doing at Camp David today. Did you guys know that he is in Camp David? They talked about him going potentially last like 2 weeks ago before this whole, you know, Iran thing was getting resolved. Of course, that's a lot of crazy stuff going on with that too. We'll talk about that. But yeah, and so It'd be very interesting if they're making plans for a storm. I'm just saying. And also, especially when we have a lot of bombshells coming out about BB as well as Fauci. That was very exciting things to see this week. And so we'll talk about that. And we'll find out. So I'm watching the chat. Give me the thumbs up if you guys are here, if everything's good, if you're hearing everything. I just posted the YouTube link. If you're in YouTube land, come and join us on Rumble. If you're in Rumble land, come join us on YouTube. And my wonderful team, Melly, will make sure that you have the links for both so you can join with our family both places. I'm so glad that we look at what we do is we look at the current events in the light of God's word. And it's a big deal when we're talking about Israel right now. And what is that? What is the point of Israel being saved for last? And so I think there's a lot of double meanings on that. So we'll get jumping in on that. So if you're new here, I'm Melissa Redpill. You can find all my resources over on melissaredpill.com. Tons of free resources over there for you. And we'll, again, talk about that as we go along. So today, President Trump is right now, as we speak, on the 20th of June, 2026. He is at Camp David. And to be honest, I don't know that he's been there before. I don't remember him being there before. Maybe he has. Somebody can maybe look it up and see. I don't think even in his second term he has, if he did in his first term. So the only reason really like they go is because they're doing some big negotiations, some potential war plans. I mean, this is not something that they do just to go and just have playtime. So he's going to Camp David this weekend instead of Florida or remaining at the White House per his official schedule. He will be heading there. That was as a Friday night. So he's there right now. Check this out. All right. So now he is there. We're going to find out what he is at is. It appears to be really just in the mop-up operation now. And then saving Israel for last. So let's talk about that. If that's, you know, that's really the last piece of the puzzle. And you have President Trump, you know, making plans on how that's going to happen. This is none of us have been here. This is the takedown of the criminal cabal, literally the Antichrist. This is, if you're new here, this is what we look at. This is what's happening worldwide. And a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, understand that because they've been brainwashed and they don't really understand, you know, because they listen to the media and they listen to the controlled church. But yeah, I'm so glad that you guys do understand that. And this is what we're in this fight for. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that at the end. After we talk about the news, I want to just talk about with us as our little family here. What, you know, I know you guys are up against because you stood up and you've spoken out, and I know I catch a lot of heat too. So just everybody hang in there. All right. So here's President Trump blasting out about Bibi. All this time, it's looked like he was just Bibi's biggest fan, and it looked like what is going on? Well, we knew that President Trump knew, even from the 17 board, we knew that this was not the case. President Trump very much knows exactly what they are trying to do, but he had to appear to be completely supporting him. And Mark Levin is flipping out. So yeah, that's pretty fun to watch. But yeah, so here is President Trump talking about Bibi. He says we have to keep him sane. What is he saying? You know, President Trump is such kind of a jokester or whatever that, you know, but he's really serious. The man is pathological, and he's clearly a warmonger. So I want you to hear what President Trump says.
Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu worked well with me, but he will tell you, we're the ones with the guns, we're the ones with the whole deal, we're the ones with the B-2 bombers, etc. If it weren't for Donald Trump, Israel would have been eviscerated.
Your relationship with Netanyahu's...
It's good, but we have to keep him a little bit sane.
Are you going to be able to control Israel from attacking Lebanon?
Yeah, I will be. I mean, how? I wonder. They have a lot of respect for me, and they do as I say.
There was great. So that was a really great interview from Axios. So appreciate them asking him those questions and basically him telling us more inside information. Our amazing president. Yeah. So he's got to keep him sane, and he's got to, that they have a lot of respect for me. Yes. In other words, yes, I will be able to. Clearly, when you see what's happening now, that's not the case. We've been saying this the whole time, that President Trump is fully in control. Netanyahu is not in control. Netanyahu thought he was in control. He thought that he was going to have his puppet Pahlavi go and become the new king, whatever, of Iran. And that is not happening. He thought he was going to be able to cause all this mayhem in Lebanon. And that is not happening. So, yeah, I want you to see this truth that came out on the Daily Mail. I'll make sure that you have the link to this here. I'm going to grab it real quick and pop it into the chat. But for you guys to make sure to share that. It's very important. Very important. So U.S. spy agencies have warned Donald Trump that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is poised to torpedo his fragile peace deal with Iran to save his own political skin. Netanyahu faced a general election in the fall, is expected to escalate strikes on Iran's proxy terror group Hezbollah in Lebanon to shore up his support at home, a fresh intelligence report warns. An official familiar with the report told the Washington Post that Israel's leadership is frustrated with Trump's 14-point plan and what it sees as capitulation to Tehran. Of course, that's what the mainstream media, except I don't really think Fox is saying it, but a lot of the media is saying, see, this is just terrible, and how could President Trump make this agreement, and he's an idiot, and we knew that. But this is what Netanyahu is spearheading, this and also these attacks in Lebanon. The document states that Jerusalem fears the agreement will hobble its ability to defend itself against Hezbollah, a former official said. The deal has frustrated many in the Israeli government who want to continue its offensive against Iran's proxies to their north. Some have openly criticized Trump and his deal. Mark Levin. Further sources revealed that Israel's occupation of southern Lebanon and attacks on Hezbollah militants there and near the capital Beirut are important to voters, a key consideration of Netanyahu's as he faces mounting political pressure. He knows that his days are numbered. He's got to keep going with all these wars or he's going to lose political power. Yeah. So this is a big moment for him because his power is melting. What he thought was that ring, he's like, I'm so close. I can grasp this ring, this golden ring, to be like about the ring, that he was going to control not only the Middle East, but also the world. I mean, the man was his egalomaniac, right? And now it's all coming down and just melting away from him. He's just panicking. For every tear of an Israeli mother, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep, they said. Israeli Minister of National Security said, shocking post on Friday, all of Lebanon must burn. This is what they're saying. But on the other hand, President Trump is saying that he is in control. Is this what they're talking about at Camp David right now, is how they're going to respond to whatever Bibi tries to do? So, yeah, they're trying to stop. They're trying at all costs to stop this peace deal. I want you to see this one, too. Let me see if I can find it. Hang on. Yeah, this is the one Pahlavi that Bibi desperately wanted to become the new president or king of Iran, because he was a puppet. And President Trump just said, no, that's, that was not going to happen. And so that was, I wanted you to make sure you saw that. And also this one here, Yair Lapid said this. Now he is, it appears, trying to get rid of Netanyahu, realizing that Netanyahu is not good for Israel. And he, it appears, thinks of Israel as another nation, just like any other nation in the world. We've been so hopefully working. Give me the thumbs up if it's working, hopefully. Yeah, somehow or another, I switched over. I apologize. Okay, hopefully, I'll just continue, and I'll watch the chat to see if everything's A-okay. So anyway, Yair Lapid is he's a foreign minister of, let me just read this one to you. I'm getting all confused. Okay, good. Okay. So hopefully it's going to work now. All right. In the past, the U.S. vice president got angry at a press conference over smutching Ben-Gvir, foreign minister Sa'ar, cut ties with the European Union's foreign minister, and President Trump said Netanyahu is showing irresponsibility in Lebanon. If we don't quickly replace this government, Israel's foreign relations will be wiped out. So he's saying, look, we want to have what all the other nations have, which is a good relationship with America, and we're not trying to be where we're trying to run the American foreign policy, which is exactly what Netanyahu has been trying to do for years through controlling Congress and AIPAC. But now they've got a president in there that is not the puppet. I don't care what different people have said. Obviously, President Trump is not Netanyahu's puppet. And so now you got, okay, now my mic is not high enough. What's going on? I have it as loud as I can. I'll go ahead and I'll just go just put the mic right to my mouth. Anyway, so this was really great for him to say this, that we've got to replace this government, replace the government of Israel, replace Netanyahu, or our foreign relations will be wiped out. And so again, just like with what happened in Venezuela, President Trump did not go in and destroy Venezuela. He didn't, destroy Iran. He is removing, removing these criminal cabal puppet leaders from running those countries. And then you've got the chance for the people to be free and have a sovereign country that has a, mutually beneficial relationship with America. So that's really what he's saying. We've got to get rid of Netanyahu. This guy's pretty tough. I'm really impressed by him. And of course, there's, you think sometimes from the U.S. press that, what's going on in Israel, they're all in lockstep. And that's not the case. As I was just reading to you, Netanyahu realizes that his political future is hanging in the balance. And that's why he's trying desperately to keep these wars ginned up. And so this guy's saying that's got to stop. He cannot continue to do this because President Trump is not putting up with it. Maybe in the past, President Trump used Netanyahu to help to get control of Iran. I really do believe that Netanyahu likely attacked some of the New World Order proxies because he was trying to vie for the top position. I bet that's what happened. And so he ended up diminishing them and decreasing their power. And yes, we got Iran under control because the first layer is gone and the second layer is gone. But now he realizes that he does not have the power by himself. And the New World Order proxies in UK and Switzerland don't have the power. And so they really shot themselves in the foot. That's what he did. And so what this guy, I think Yair Lapid, is wanting to do is just have a good relationship with America, just like other countries do. So I want to make sure that you saw that. I'll grab that link and I'll put that over in the chat. So I think that's very, very important to understand, is that they do not, he does not run Israel with an iron fist. I don't care how many IDF soldiers he has. There are a lot of very courageous people in Israel who want to have their country as a sovereign country and not be hated. President Trump just said that this week, that everybody hates them throughout the Middle East, and that he better be careful because he's not going to have the support of America if he doesn't watch out. This is what this guy's talking about. All right. So if you're new to this type of information, I have a whole series of on Israel over on my website, freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live. And here's the page that has say about saving Israel for less. I'm going to pop that over into the chat. I'm just going to type this in as Israel videos. And so if you know, to really kind of catch up on what the Bible talks about on Israel, because, you know, we've been led to believe in many of the churches that, you know, we have to support Israel no matter what. And this nation state of Israel is the biblical Israel. And that's not the case. And I want to read to you a couple of verses to give you a little taster of what I'm talking about here. So here are several videos about Israel. And one of the main ones I want you to see is this one right here, what Israel really looks like. So definitely go and see that one. Here's the video. Here's this video, what Israel really looks like. I'm going to pop this one over because this one goes into the history of Jacob, and whose name was changed to Israel, and how many he actually had four wives. Quite the interesting story, but bottom line, he had these 12 sons, and they're from four different mothers. So they were from the very beginning, they were ethnically diverse. They don't all look the same. And then they were scattered. The Israelites were scattered all over the world. So it's not just this one little group that's in this one little pocket in the Middle East anymore. The Israelites have scattered all over the world. And so there's actually even one more mother, because Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were adopted into being in the tribes of Israel. And so there you go, is another mother, and she had likely dark skin that was from Egypt. And so it's red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. It's not about them all looking the same. We were misled to believe that the Israelites are God's people all over the world. Now there's two different things, two more things that you have to really take into consideration. And that is that the flesh profits nothing. It doesn't really matter what someone's ethnicity is. What really matters is their heart. And if they really honor the Lord and they walk with the Lord. And so this is the one I want you to see here. This is talking about how the tribes were scattered all over the world. This is where you can tell by the heraldry, all their flags, where each of the tribes moved to. And this is just showing you where in Europe and in Russia. But they moved all over the world. Obviously, now many of us have ended up coming from, let's say, if you were from England, the United Kingdom, then we moved over into America. So in the past, you know, this has been about 2,500 years ago since the Israelites were scattered and left the land of Israel. We've gone all throughout the world. And it's about the ethnicity, but more importantly, it's about, as I was saying before, it's about the heart. So anyway, this is where, if you look at this page called freedomforce.live/flags, F-L-A-G-S, flags, then you can see the symbols of each of the tribes, and then you can find out where they went. And there's the map of where, you know, how they moved during the captivity, the Assyrian captivity. And then here are the flags that you can see where each of the tribes moved. For example, the tribe of Benjamin is represented by a wolf. And so when you look at different flags, you'll see this wolf representing the tribe of Benjamin. Does that mean that everybody there is a, you know, Benjaminite and has truly loves the Lord? No, it's what I'm saying is that this is what initially happened. The tribes were scattered and moved all throughout the world. And this is how you can trace them. And more importantly, you can trace trace believers by their actions, by how they operate and honor the Lord, right? So anyway, so it really, really pretty cool. Some places that are really so terrible, you can tell that the tribes didn't move there and that they were just left to turn into something horrible like Somalia, right? Anyway, so yeah, just look over on freedomforce.live/flags. I think you'll really enjoy doing that research and it really and also as well as looking at the videos on Israel. So here is what the Lord says about in the heart, what is important about the Israelites, the heart of God's people, not about their ethnicity. And really, I think sometimes people get really tangled up in the bloodline. And if anything is, we've learned anything from this, the Israelis who say they're Israelites in this nation state of Israel, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. It doesn't, you know, the flesh, as I've said before, doesn't, it profits nothing. All right, so here's the passage where it talks about Abraham. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What is he talking about here? He's saying, is it because of your ethnicity or is it because of your heart connected to the Lord that causes the changes in your life? Is it because of your bloodline or is it because of your faith? Okay, does that make sense? So here, this is in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, his faith is what made the difference. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. This is so critically important. This is so important. And our Lord Jesus said it too. I'm going to show you where he said it too. That it's only those who have true faith that are the children of Abraham. That are true Israelites. And if you remember, Abraham had a grandson named Esau who was pure evil. The bloodline doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter at all. All that matters is your faith. And that was the difference between Jacob and Esau. Now, that many of you have probably heard, just like I did in many times in church, that, oh, Jacob was a trickster and he's so evil and all this. No, he was not. He was bound and determined to get the control and to get the rule so that he could rule in righteousness the earth and have that blessing, because he knew that if Esau ran the world, it would be hell on earth. So who is represented by Esau is obviously the New World Order. And that's what, exactly the same thing that we are doing as quote Israelites, whether by blood or by faith, either way, we are following in those footsteps to take the rule and to rule this earth in righteousness, where there's peace and unity and faith and family and love and justice and truth in this world. We are following in the very same footsteps of Jacob and Abraham. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that he would bring us in, just like I was just showing you on that map, that we... the Israelites were scattered throughout the world, and not only did that have a salvific effect on the people who were able to get out of this Baal worship in the land of Israel, but it also had a great effect of blessing on the non-believers in those lands. And it salted everything, as God's word says. It sprinkled the faith and salted the faith all over the world. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So that this is what's amazing, is that, you know, just like I was showing you on this picture, see if I can get all this, you know, all these nations were blessed because the tribes of Israel moved there and filled up these places with faith and just had a, what is the word I'm looking for? Just this salvific effect, of a cleansing effect on those places. And maybe before they had been doing idol worship and demon worship and child sacrifice and all that. But then when God's people move there, then they're like, we're not doing that anymore. But like I said, there are places where the tribes did not move that just were left to themselves. And it's even to this day are not, you know, good places. You know, you can't go there. You'll take your life in your hands. All right. So I want you to see that as well as what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Jesus is talking, at this point he's talking and the Israelites are, I'm sorry, the Pharisees are there. And they're listening to what he has to say, and they're getting upset because it sounds like he is putting them down. Now, at this time, the people who were ruling were not true Israelites. They were what, you know, we would think of as Khazarians. They weren't necessarily Khazarians, but the point is they were not true believers. And they were running things, and they were, you know, stealing from the people and had the people under their control. And Jesus was trying to tell the people that. Do not trust them. Matthew chapter 23 is rife with, you know, these people are like whitewashed tombs. You walk across and you don't even realize you're walking across dead men's bones. They're, you know, basically they're a brood of vipers. He was telling them they were demonic. And the people thought, oh, but they've got the cool outfits on and the hats and the phylacteries and all this fancy stuff. And Jesus was trying to tell them, don't trust them. And that he did that right, you know, on Thursday before they arrested him and put him on the cross on Friday. I mean, that's why they did it, because Jesus was exposing them before all the world. Not so different from us. I said, I'll talk to you about that at the end of the video, is that, you know, we've really pushed it. I know I have, and I'm thinking you probably have too. If you've shared all these things that I've been talking about all these years, it's really put us in a very dangerous position. And also just that people don't understand, but I'll get to that. Anyway, so he's saying, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not think to yourselves, oh, we have Abraham as our father. Oh, we're in the bloodline. Oh, we're the true seed of Abraham. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. I don't really think he was talking about little rocks on the ground. I think he was talking about the brainwashed masses. Like these, he can raise up children. He can raise up fighters, really, I think is what he's saying. They're brainwashed right now, and they just believe what you tell them. But there'll come a day when they will be raised up. They will ascend, and they will rise up into the position of authority, and they'll cast you out. There's coming a day when that will happen. I really do think that's what Jesus was telling them. And even now, he said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. They were so mad when he said this, because they knew that they had fooled the people. They, just like the New World Order of this day, they knew that they had done this, and they did not want to hear Jesus call them out, especially in front of all these people. You know, unfortunately, you can say something literally right in front of someone and they might not necessarily get it. Anyway, so I really think this is an important verse that maybe we've overlooked and didn't realize what Jesus was really trying to say. Don't think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't worry about your physical lineage. Don't worry about any of that. Don't even think about that. He says, you know, the Lord is able to make someone a child of Abraham. Even from a stone, from a stony heart, a hard heart, a hard head. And is able to do this, as Ezekiel had pointed out, that he can take out the stony heart and give someone a heart of flesh. This is exactly what the Lord is able to do. This is what he's done for us. He has done this. We had this hard head. And this hard heart, we didn't understand. We didn't get it. And he is able to do that. And he did that for us, and he's going to do that for everyone. He's going to do that. And so that everybody will get it. Like, oh, because, you know, if you've ever had something you're like trying to understand, you're like, come on, go, have that information go into my noggin. It was like, why can't that soak in and really understand it? And so then all of a sudden, as the Spirit of the Lord helps us, he gives us that understanding and we're able to receive that understanding and that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you guys? Anyway, so that's what he was saying. You know, I'm going to also just super quick, I'm going to take you to, I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 3. And again, this is where John on the Isle of Patmos, this tells you why they have him on the Isle of Patmos, because they're like, we can't trust him. We got to get him out of here. Revelation chapter 3. But he even speaks now to us, right? Even, you know, thousands of years later. Is it 3:9? Okay. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before you, your feet, and to know that I have loved you. So these people have, they lie. They say that they're Jews. They say that they're of the seed of Abraham, but they're not. And this is what we're up against. This is saving Israel for last. The truth about Israel, that these people are not true Israelites. And it's really not as much about bloodline as it is about their faith. There are some people who live in the nation state of Israel that are true believers. But the ones who are leading the thing, who are leading the country, are clearly not. This is why President Trump says we've got to keep him sane. And because he knows the man's an evil warmonger. All right. I hope that's all connecting all those dots. I want to show you one other thing. And this was from Mike Huckabee. He's a Baptist minister, has been in the past. And so he is teaching the line that we have heard for many years in the Baptist church and likely many of the Christian churches. And he is promoting Israel as really... He's talking about the importance of Israel, that America owes our very existence to Israel. Now, I have to say, you know, you cooled your jets a little bit, Mr. Huckabee. Well, calm it down a little bit. And so I want you to hear what he has to say, and then we'll talk about it.
But it is also my job to represent the importance of Israel to the United States. This is just another reminder that it is your heritage, without a doubt. But minister, it is also the heritage of the United States. Without Israel, without the Jewish foundation, there would not be an America. We owe our very existence to what happened in this land. But it is
okay. So in one sense, I really agree with him. In one sense, I really don't agree with him. And so let me explain to you why. And this is where you've got to, you know, really listen very carefully. So. In one sense, yes, what happened in that land is where our Lord Jesus was born, and where the incubator for all of God's people was in that land. This is where our Lord Jesus went and died on the cross for us and rose again. So yes, I would agree. This is where the beginning of our heritage as a people of faith. I'm very, very thankful for that land. I've gone there before, and I'm so glad I've gotten to go where I believe our Lord Jesus was buried and where he rose. I'm very thankful to have gotten to go and see all the Bible lands and where this happened, and it all makes sense now, because I'm like, oh, okay, well, I understand where things are and all that, whatever. I like that, but, and the other thing is, yes, our people were scattered from that land. I can go back to whichever picture this one is. Yeah, that as I was just saying, I'm very thankful for that land, because this is where the people were living. And then even though they were cast out, in the book of Jeremiah, and I also talk about it in the book Major Clues from Minor Prophets, they were cast out of the land and they were moved all over. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very, very, very thankful that the God's people have moved all over the world, were prepared there, and then moved all over the world. And that has been the blessing to all the world, as the Lord told Abraham would happen. So I'm very, very thankful. But it's not because of the Zionists, Netanyahu, and all of him, all of his ilk, and the New World Order. That's not who I'm grateful for. I'm grateful to our heritage, our ancestors by faith, who truly loved the Lord you know, the Lord raised up these stones to scatter throughout the world to not just preach the gospel, but to be the gospel wherever they were planted all over the world. This is what I'm thankful for. This is our heritage, is that we have people who have this faith that came to these lands and built up these beautiful lands so that we would then eventually come to America and have the land of the free. So yeah, otherwise it would have been a hellhole. But yeah, so, you know, and I wouldn't disagree with this. Yeah, they were saying that Mike Huckabee needs to resign. If he is saying that we owe our existence to the nation state of Israel, he needs to resign. He's got the cart before the horse. He's got it, you know, backwards, right? He says, it's my job to represent the importance of Israel to the United States. Yeah. That is not the case. So I wanted you to see that. And unfortunately, that is what a lot of people are being taught in the Christian church at this point. And so whether you go to the Christian church or you don't go, I just be very, whoever you listen to, be very careful, because so many of them have the cart before the horse, have it backwards. And so again, I think that as long as we look at it this way, that this is our heritage, that our people, the Israelites, came from this land, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea, that this was, they began to cover the whole earth. The enemy thought they were destroying the people by scattering them, and it turned out that it was a blessing to the world that God's people were scattered all over, like seed, and that growing up God's word in all these places. All right, so I wanted you to see that. You know, hopefully that'll help to connect dots. If you haven't read the books, let's see, this one right here, Major Clues from Minor Prophets, I think you'll really, really enjoy this one right here. As much as I love the Decode of Revelation, I love to pieces understanding the Minor Prophets. And I realized those books had been hidden from us. I didn't get it all those years ago. So definitely check into that book right there if you haven't read it before. And thank you guys for always putting a review over for the books, because it really helps people to find them. So here's the link right here for the books. If you you've read them, please make a review. If you haven't read them, go and check them out. They're only $2.99 on Amazon. You can read them. We're trying to, you know, we're having them over there so we can help get this out to the masses. But here's the one that is the Decode of Revelation. And again, we talk about Israel. We talk about, you know, and how that really plays into the Book of Revelation. It's one of the key parts that you have to understand in order to decode the Book of Revelation. If you don't understand that piece, then you'll miss out. You'll miss it. All right. So I want you to see that. And also definitely check into The Golden Age. This is my newest book. Oh, and I got to tell you before I go on. Yeah. Okay. So I told you guys that I had made a boo-boo. Someone had sent me out that I had a date that was incorrect. And so I went to fix it. And when I fixed it, supposedly I grabbed an older copy in my haste, in my, you know, wasn't watching carefully enough. And so for the past month, since May 11th, I've had the wrong version, an older copy in there. So now it's in there correct. The paperback is right. The audio, the Kindle is right. Everything is fixed. But if you, for some way, if you got the wrong copy and since May, if you will contact us over at melissaredpill.com, my wonderful, lovely assistant, Tammy, will make sure that you get the right copy. So I apologize for that. But I just made that mistake. So but anyway, the great news about the Golden Age is, whether it's 15 chapters or 17 chapters, either way, it is the wonderful truth about where we're headed to this Golden Age, into the kingdom of Christ on earth. And it's just going to be so wonderful. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So definitely, I hope you really share that with people so that they get this hope. We have to have hope that this is where we're headed. We, you know, there's just not a lot of hope being talked about out there. So I want you to definitely share that, please. And also come in and I need some more people to come over here and make a review for this book. And my wonderful Jody, who is my one of my one of my proofreaders. She was loving it. She said it was so funny when she came back and she was scribbling on all of it. Normally it's like corrections, but this time it was like a smiley face here and a smiley face there. Everywhere is a smiley face. So that was really good. I was going to tell you something else. Okay. On that book. I don't know. I was going to tell you something else. Maybe I'll remember it here in just a second, but yeah, definitely check into the Golden Age. And I also have the audiobooks over on melissaredpill.com. All right. So definitely check into that. If you like this information, please hit the like button right now and hit the subscribe. Make sure your bell is rung so you can get more information about that. All right. So I was going to tell you a little bit more about what President Trump's had to say about Bibi. Now that we're looking at this in the correct venue, a way that he is not a true Israelite. He is a usurper. He's one of these who says he's a Jew and he is not. Okay, because your actions are what indicates whether you are a true Jew or not. Okay, so here's what President Trump had to say about him being irresponsible. So President Trump's really been coming out about him more than ever before.
Didn't like that. We're talking about some end details. I didn't like that he did an attack based on a, you know, there's a very minor little thing with some drones that were released, and he ends up doing a very, I saw that attack. I saw where that bomb went. Did you see what happened? That was a vicious, that was too much. You know, you can do too much also. But we've had a very effective relationship. Without us, without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel, because no other president was willing to do it.
That's the opposite of what Mike Huckabee just said. He's trying to flip it and say that there wouldn't be no America without Israel. And it's flipped. President Trump is saying everybody over in the Middle East would have obliterated them long ago if it hadn't been for President Trump, if it hadn't been for America to protect them. And so get in line and stop being irresponsible, going and bombing people over some little drone thing in the desert.
What I did. I've had a great relationship with Bibi, but now Bibi has to be more responsible with respect to Lebanon.
So thankful. Yeah. Despite the criticism, Trump denied reports of a major personal rift with Netanyahu, saying the two leaders still maintain a strong relationship. But President Trump is saying multiple times that he's the one who controls Netanyahu. Netanyahu does not like that one little bit. He was just chomping at the bit to become the ruler of the world, right? The head of the cabal. And I think he's now realizing that whatever he did, it ended up bringing down the cabal. Instead of him being lifted up to the top position, it's fractured it so much that President Trump was able to defeat them. And really, that's a big part of the genius of President Trump in defeating the New World Order, divide and conquer. And that's exactly what he did. He's written the playbook. He's Sun Tzu warrior man. That's what he has done. And so the very thing that they have done to us to destroy our country, divide and conquer, President Trump did to them. I really do believe that's the case. However, he indicated he was unhappy with recent Israeli strikes in Beirut, which he viewed as disproportionate to the threat posed. Yeah. So that is new for President Trump to do this. I'll go ahead and share this one too. So you guys, I make sure that you share this. I'll just basically share on here, but share these videos of President Trump saying that Bibi's out of control. And as much as he might say, oh, I have a strong relationship with Netanyahu, it is not playing well in Peoria. It's not playing well in Israel. And that leader I was just showing you before, Yair, whatever his name is, Lapid, he is using this to try to bring down this government of Israel. That's what has to happen. Wouldn't that be great if he lost his election coming up? That would be great. I don't know exactly when that is. Somebody go find out when that is. Okay, so now here's another minion. Okay, you've got this minion of Huckabee. I want you to hear what Ted Cruz had to say, because he is clearly panicking And so I want you to hear what he has to say. He's the top, one of the top Zionist minions. And yeah, he actually at one point sounds like he's almost threatening President Trump. Check this out.
The administration has now released the memorandum of understanding that has been signed. And so we know the text of it. And as we said in the last podcast, it was highly concerning. And it turns out every bit of those rumors were accurate. And what was being circulated was, in fact, what was in it. I believe the president is getting very poor advice on this. And history teaches a very simple proposition, which is that giving billions of dollars to theocratic lunatics who want to murder us is a very, very bad idea. Yeah. This deal envisions funneling $300 billion to the Ayatollah and the Islamic regime in Iran. I think that is that would be a very serious mistake. I think if the Ayatollah gets $300 billion, that money will be used to fund terrorism and to murder Americans. And so yeah. It is very much my hope that the administration goes down a different path, that they choose not to send money to the Ayatollah. In my view, we shouldn't send a penny to the Ayatollah. And sending $300 billion would be, I think, enormously dangerous.
Okay, so he is supposed to be one of the top, Republican supporters of President Trump and a pro-American and all this. I'm in Texas. He's one of our senators. Okay, so if I believed that the IRGC was the one that we were truly fighting, then I would probably agree with Ted Cruz. And many of the people that you know likely don't understand what's really going on. Why is President Trump, allowing them to be reconstituted? Because they'll just pick up where they left off. The only way this makes sense is if what's really happening is that Iran is free from the cabal. Just like North Korea was set free from the cabal, and everybody had hair on fire at that point, that Trump was a madman. In the same way, now Iran is free of the cabal. They are no longer under their control. There's no other explanation. And he either doesn't know that or he knows that and he's really good liar. I'm thinking when President Trump has said lying Ted, he is really an accomplished liar. He is in this role of playing this part, and he, whether he knows or not, maybe, I don't know. Either way, he is helping to protect the cabal because he's trying to continue to have this boogeyman of Iran. President Trump has now finally set Iran free, and they can now trade, and they can ship their oil, and they can, but not if they're at all connected to this criminal network, the New World Order, right? So that's the difference that Ted Cruz is not letting on, maybe whether he knows or doesn't know.
All right. I want to make sure, Senator, that we're extremely clear on this show. You're going to say that there's a chance we could send $300 billion that they could get their hands on in Iran. The pushback I've already seen, I've had a debate this on TV, is we're not writing that check, so it's not accurate. Can you explain how they're getting their hands on that amount of money potentially here in this deal so that people understand? Because the argument is, well, Obama sent pallets of cash. We're not sending any cash from American taxpayers. So therefore, that argument's null and void. Explain this out so people understand why this is a concerning moment.
Yeah, look, the folks trying to defend the deal, that is the talking point they're using, is they're saying that cash would not be U.S. taxpayer money. Let me just read to you. I'm going to read verbatim from the agreement. Paragraph 6 begins as follows. The United States of America undertakes with regional partners to develop a definitive, mutually agreed plan with at least $300 billion for the reconstruction and economic development of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The mechanism for the implementation of this plan will be finalized as part of a final deal within 60 days. All requested licenses, waivers, and permissions needed for the relevant financial transactions will be granted by the United States of America. That is a KIPP commitment to ensure that, Iran receives $300 billion. You know what? I don't care where it comes from. I don't want a lunatic religious fanatic who chants death to America to receive $300 billion, whether it comes from us or it comes from some other regional partners. I don't care where it comes from. Giving people who want to kill you the billions and billions of dollars from any source historically has proven an enormous mistake. And I will say,
okay, yeah, so there you go. This is what the talking points are from Ted Cruz. And so he's still in the old playbook of Iran boogeyman. But we have transferred over, we've changed planes. We're no longer in the old plane. We're in the new plane where we have Iran as a sovereign country, no longer controlled by the imperialists of the United Kingdom, City of London, global bankers. They're not controlling them anymore. They're not able to control, they're not able to do this terrorism, to control the price of oil. The price of oil is plummeting. They're not able to control all this the price of the insurance. They're done. They're not able to control Iran anymore. And so I understand where he's coming from. If we were truly fighting the IRGC, then that would be the case. But the reality is we were not. We were fighting the New World Order cabal. And the people there do not chant death to America. The people, they would say, I will say this, the people who were there, who were saying, if they were saying death to America, they were likely saying it to people like Obama, who was supporting and propping up this criminal regime that was running their country. And that is no longer happening. The people, I hope that made sense. If they were unhappy with America, I've been unhappy with America too, propping up this criminal network that was running Iran. They have destroyed, this cabal has destroyed Iran. And yes, I understand why they would say stop destroying our country. For the past 47 years, the people who had this beautiful country, and it was completely destroyed, and all the, it's been hell on earth. The people who've lived there, it's been absolute horrible mayhem. You know, all the people who were killed in the streets by this criminal cabal proxy. So this is, you know, this old idea that Cruz is trying to perpetuate, that Iran is run by this IRGC, is over. They're now a free country. They're now free. And that's what President Trump is making sure is what's going to happen. All right. So that's I want you to see that. So, and then the other thing that he said, which was really kind of interesting, he almost threatened President Trump in this. He must feel that he has a lot of power from his handlers. Check this out.
If the Islamic regime remains in power, that regime, I believe, will continue to threaten President Trump and his family forever.
Yeah.
That is, that they've twice hired hitmen to try to murder the president. I believe the Ayatollah with $300 billion, I think the result of that would be more Americans killed in terrorism. And if...
Okay, so Ted Cruz either thinks President Trump is stupid or he's stupid. I don't know, but President Trump is not stupid. And so, yeah, he's just trying so hard in one way or another to prop up this IRGC. And the reality is the IRGC of the past is not the one that is currently running Iran. If it was, President Trump would not have signed this deal. That's, we haven't gone this far and gone through all this back and forth for the New World Order to continue to control Iran. And that's just over. Whether Ted Cruz understands that or not, I have a feeling that he just basically has his talking points from his handlers. And so maybe he Maybe he doesn't know. I don't know. I don't know what he knows. I don't know what he doesn't know. I just know that President Trump is a genius, and he is making sure that Iran is free. We have worked on this since what we were told in 2018 that Iran had to be free, and then saving Israel for last. All right. So I want you to see that. And then here, let's just check out Mark Levin. Enjoy the show. Mark Levin is flipping his lid. He's so upset, and he was fooled into thinking that President Trump was pro-Zionist, and he realizes now he's been played. Let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger so you can see it. Yeah. Okay, so he's saying there's not a word about ballistic missiles, the single most destructive weapon Iran has and has used, and which have the capability of killing tens of thousands and destroying cities if launched in a wave. This is a grave capitulation to the regime. Seriously, Levin? You think President Trump capitulated to the regime? No. He's kicked out the regime. He's making sure that the people of Iran can protect themselves, but it's now a free nation. They can protect themselves, but the cabal, the real regime, is out. Two, not a word about promoting and funding terrorism and terror groups. I've no illusions. The regime's terrorism and terror funding will not be curtailed under any circumstances. Okay, what you saying, Mark Levin, and really Cruz also? So you guys are, you know, people who are going to do some terrorist activities? Is that what you're saying? That's really what it sounds like you're saying. So yeah, that's really, really huge that they would put that out there, that there are going to be all these terror plots. This is not a game. We're not playing a game. It won't be done by the Iranian people, though. If it's done, it will be done by the cabal, the ones at the top. Not a word about the Iranian people who promised to help at the outset. Apparently, they've been abandoned. No, that's not true either, Mr. Levin. The truth is the people of Iran are free. They are being set free from this criminal network. And then number four, listen to this one. Not a word about the regime paying reparations to our country, Israel, or the Arab countries for the massive damage caused by their ballistic missiles and other missiles. What's he saying here? Well, who is our country? Is he actually saying Israel's our country? I don't know. Either way, to the U.S., to Israel, or the Arab countries, or is he saying our country is Israel? I don't know. It's a very interesting way that he formulated that sentence, and I think it was on purpose. But yeah, they've desperately wanted all this money to flow from America, from our tax coffers, to Iran, with all this cash loaded in pallets over there, and then given out to their Zionist regime. This is what they've been doing for all these years. Yeah, so there's Levin, all in his, with his panties in a bunch. And he thought all this time, he says, oh, President Trump is the best friend Israel's ever had. And now he realizes that President Trump played him. Very, very exciting. All right. Okay, so now let's finally get to what's going on with Fauci. I had on the front of this video about how Fauci's over here crying and Netanyahu is crying. Well, let's look at this one. Very, very exciting. This is what our wonderful DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, exposed just last week. We talked about this on the last video, but she's also come out with another bombshell, but they're connected. I want to make sure that you guys connect them. Here is where she dropped this truth about the U.S. bioweapon labs, weapons labs in Ukraine. She did this on her way out the door. And so I'll play a little portion of this because I think most of you have heard this by now.
Of searching through intelligence community holdings and files. Today, I'm releasing new evidence of longstanding U.S. government funding of more than 120 biolabs in over 30 countries. Now, these biolabs include labs in places like Ukraine, which could be at risk of compromise due to the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. In fact, the intelligence community had previously warned that a U.S.-funded biolab in Ukraine likely housed dangerous pathogens and remained vulnerable to longstanding threats of Russian attack, seizure, or damage. Now, until now, evidence regarding the full existence and funding of these laboratories had been knowingly withheld from you, the American people. Many of these U.S. government-funded biolabs are currently or have previously engaged in research using hazardous and highly contagious pathogens, and in some cases included dangerous gain-of-function research with very little visibility or oversight. Now, President Trump clearly understands the serious threat dangerous gain-of-function research poses to the American people.
Okay, we got to stop it real quick. When you hear the gain-of-function research, who does that remind you of? It's Fauci. So what she's saying with this one that she posted last week, she exposed last week, is she was pointing everyone to Fauci, even though in this video, I don't think she used Fauci's name at all, that these bioweapons labs in Ukraine were being controlled by Fauci and being used by Fauci to release some of these dangerous pathogens. And I, in my opinion, the number one that was released was the COVID jab.
And this is why he took decisive action over a year ago. On May 25th, 2025, he signed an executive order to end federal funding of gain-of-function research around the world. Here at ODNI, I issued new guidance to the intelligence community directing increased collection on these laboratories and facilities overseas. And we're already seeing the results of this increased collection. We're learning new details, for example, on clinical trials that are underway at these facilities and that are raising significant ethical, financial, and security concerns regarding the supposed public health initiatives and U.S. national security. Now, despite the obvious potential for catastrophic global impact that research on dangerous pathogens in biolabs can have, politicians, so-called health professionals like Dr. Fauci, as well as entities within the Biden administration's national security team, lied repeatedly to the American people about the existence of U.S.-funded and supported biolabs.
Okay, so she did bring up Fauci in this one, to connecting these dots that all this is under his control. This is why Fauci is panicking. This is why I believe it is time. This is why I believe something big is happening at Camp David this weekend, because on Tulsi's way out the door, she is exposing Fauci and these bioweapons labs. And then she also yesterday talked about this.
Pandemic. Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19, and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when, under oath, he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins.
Okay, I want to make sure that you're catching this, that he not only lied to Congress about the origins, it's been proven that he lied about the origins, but also how they were lying about with getting this information out to the people. We know that we were trying to tell the truth about it, and we were stopped, we were squelched, we were banned, we were prevented from getting the truth out to people. And many people literally lost their lives because of this. Millions and millions of people have suffered untold health effects because of his lies and using the intelligence community to stop us from being able to get the truth out every which way we possibly could. We were banished from telling the truth. And she's exposing this on her last day in her position as the DNI.
Again, revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth. Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions.
Okay, did you catch that? The number one is big, big money for big, big pharma. And also doing this bat deal, which everybody knows now, was just to try to keep the attention away from his gain-of-function research, okay? So follow the money, follow the ways that they were trying to prevent the truth from coming out about how they were doing it.
Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit, and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available. Now, according to hundreds of reviewed emails, which are included in this release, the intelligence community almost always incorporated Fauci's recommendations. He promoted a fraudulent paper whose publication he helped prompt as legitimate information for intelligence community consideration. Senior analysts praised Dr. Fauci not as a policymaker, but as what they called an unbiased guide to the real coronavirus experts, while deliberately ignoring experts who might dissent from Fauci's narratives. Now, Fauci didn't stop there. He blatantly lied to Congress under oath during his 2024 testimony to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, denying that he ever spoke to any intelligence agency about COVID. Now, the correspondence I'm releasing today directly contradicts his sworn testimony. Now, we received statements from multiple whistleblowers revealing that the intelligence analysts who dared to challenge Dr. Fauci's COVID origin conclusions faced threats of retaliation, marginalization, and many suffered career setbacks. For example, a contractor was terminated just days after coming forward to ODNI as a whistleblower. Another example, those who advocated for the lab leak hypothesis or expressed dissenting views were reminded by their managers that leadership would determine which analysts would be promoted and which would not. The message was clear: go along or be punished.
And that we can testify to that, can't we? I mean, even though you and I were not whistleblowers, we didn't work for the government, you know, most of us, we know that if we tried to speak about this, we were, I mean, summarily banished, removed. And so if some of you who are listening are new to this and you don't realize this, you might be have been watching videos on YouTube and you had no idea the ones who were trying to desperately to get the truth out who were kicked off and were not. I mean, even the littlest thing you would say, holding up a card, anything that you could try to get the truth out, and you were completely wiped out and you couldn't get the truth out. Thank goodness it really changed when Elon purchased X and we could get the truth over there, which is absolutely amazing. And then, of course, oh, how much fun it has been to have Fauci come up and just be the expert. He is the expert on everything. I don't miss those days at all. And so I really appreciate that she is exposing this. Thank you for exposing how this was a huge boondoggle, financial boondoggle for Big Pharma. Huge ways that they were using the intelligence community to hide what really was the origins of this bioweapon. And then number three, how this is all, you know, how they were stifling all this truth from coming out because, you know, we have access to being able to, you know, to get truth out, but not if they ban us. I mean, it was on across the board, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, anywhere you were trying to get the truth out, you were just summarily removed. So one more thing she has to say.
Senior leaders also sought to undermine whistleblowers by removing anonymity, which is required in the whistleblower process, as they made their complaints, and also insisting that their managers or attorneys be present during ODNI meetings where these whistleblowers were coming forward with their testimony, obviously creating an atmosphere of intimidation. The COVID pandemic caused tremendous hardship and pain for millions of our fellow Americans and countless people around the world. Now, after years of lies and censorship and cover-ups, the American people deserve transparency, truth, and accountability. The tactics that were used to hide the truth are straight from the deep state playbook. Politicized self-serving leaders like Dr. Fauci covered up their own wrongdoing and abuses of power, manipulated intelligence, lied to Congress, and undermined a duly elected president by restricting his access to the vital facts he needed to keep the country safe. It's time you know the truth.
Oh, thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful patriot, Tulsi Gabbard, and getting this truth out. So I'm going to make sure that you have the link over here in the chat. This is the one about, as Fauci. And it's really important that we go and share that. So definitely like it, bookmark it, whatever, to help more people see this truth. Maybe post this link over on other social media, maybe if you're on Facebook or whatever, because this is coming out. And we're finally at that point. I'm telling you, it's been a long, long road. And I'm thankful that we're not in the days of the. I'm almost still scared to say COVID. I'm glad we're not at that point anymore. And I'm so glad we're finally at that point where the truth is coming out. As she said, that it's time for the truth to come out. And it's time for the truth to come out about Bibi. It's time for President Trump to go to Camp David and to make some kinds of plans. We'll watch and see. I will say this also. I feel like it's time also because we know that 4th of July is when we're supposed to be celebrating our country being free. We need to have this happen. I'm just saying. I'd love for us to have this happen before the 4th of July. I'm just saying. We'll watch and see. All right. Last super quick thing is, did you guys see about this? These sleeper cells that were the drones that were used to potentially to attack the UFC event. And so this was something that was done by, posted by Lee Ann Eskew. She connected this, that these post 1245, where it talks about why is Mexico vocal against POTUS. Of course, it's because this is the criminal cabal cartels, that this is their proxies in all these Latin American countries and South American countries that have been controlling these countries with just absolute evil control through these drugs, through just, you know, controlling the governments. The governments have just been in name only. And so one of the things that's really cool is that Milei of Argentina and the new one who's running for president of Colombia, looks like they are in working together, and that they will make their South America great again. Very, very exciting. And hopefully Bolsonaro will get in there too. Talk about making South America great again. It's going to be awesome. So anyway, thank you for posting this. And this was connecting this dot here on this post from these drones in Mexico at the time 9/12. That goes directly to military time of this post 21/12 about these sleeper cells. These sleeper cells were used to try to thwart what was the UFC fight, but they were stopped. And Cash Patel was talking about how they were using AI to stop them, which is absolutely amazing. So I'm very thankful for that. Yeah. So the drones. Yeah. That's the one. All right. I think that's everything I had to share with you guys today. I hope you enjoyed that and got a lot of good information out of that. And so I was going to just say this. Before we go, you guys have fought so hard for so long and have, you know, my life has been, I was poisoned, you know, maybe you were poisoned, maybe you were not, maybe, you know, but either way, all of us have experienced a lot of struggles because we spoke out, because either we were banned, just 1,000 different ways that they have attacked us. And so I just wanted to tell you guys that, the Lord is really proud of you. And he chose you for a reason. He chose you because he knew you were tough and you were strong and that you would fight. And that not everyone was chosen for this. And I just want you to be, you know, pinch yourself and be proud that the Lord considered you worthy and brought you into this service, into this amazing job, at this amazing time. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is the time when we are defeating the literal Antichrist that it's talked about in God's word. We're literally walking through, and this book right here, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace, we're walking through the end times for the cabal. And so if it seems hard and you've struggled and you've had difficulties with relationships, and you know, just know that it's all going to be restored to you. The Lord promised, and I talked about this in the book, the minor prophets, major clues for minor prophets. He will restore all the years the locusts have eaten. They have tried to gobble up your everything that you have, whether it's financially, your mental peace of mind, your family, your whatever, your respect in the community. They've tried to destroy you, and here you stand. And so I just wanted to encourage you that the Lord will restore everything that the enemy stole, and that you will no longer be, as I talk about in Major Clues for Minor Prophets, I can't remember which one of the minor prophets said that, you know, you'll no longer be the offscouring. No longer will you be the ones who are pushed down and disrespected. So just hang on tight. Hang in there. We're so close. We're really at the door. I do feel like with that new plane, it's like that was the olden age, and this new plane is taking off into the golden age. I think it's a very beautiful symbol of where we're headed. So just hang on there just a little longer, okay? And so it's going to be wonderful. It will. All right, let's, and we're going to pray together. I also want to remind you of something that's happening this week. This week, I'll share the link too. There is a special going on, and I'm going to be posting about it more today on the social media. But I think they have a special that if you go over to this link here for freedomforce.thegoodinside.com, if you go there, they have like anything you've never tried before. They have like a 40% off, and they have so many wonderful things. I'm going to just pop this real quick here. I think that's what they're doing is it's a 40% off special. I think it's this whole week. I'm sorry. I'll get all the details and I'll put it on the social media. But yeah, they have so many wonderful things to help. One of my favorites is this Pure Body Extra. They help at the cellular level to remove arsenic, aluminum, chromium, mercury, cadmium, and lead from what they've poisoned us and poisoned ourselves, making them not work properly. But then also just so many... See this one, this page right here on our freedomforce.live/detox page. It explains how this zeolite helps to purge that out of the cells and to remove it from your body. Amazing. So very, very thankful. Easy, just three little spritzes twice a day in your mouth. But they also have very many other things. You can watch out the videos that explain like the green juice that I put into my smoothie to make sure that you get the nutrients in you, because our food is so lacking in nutrients now. So just several different things that they have. Also the televital. So you can get 40% off of that. That is the one that helps to protect your telomeres so that it can help you to live longer, stronger lives. Really amazing. I just love this company. They have absolutely amazing, amazing products. So anyway, so you can learn more about that here. I can refresh it and you can see what I'm talking about. There's the Pure Body Gut Defense. If you've had intestinal issues, this can help your intestines to get stronger. So I really think this is a great opportunity for you to get some of these great products at a greatly reduced price. So yeah, definitely check into that. The fulvic minerals, that is how your body can be like, if you have a plant that's all yellow and you want to make sure that it gets all greened up and receives those nutrients, that's kind of what that is. It's like eating dirt, but it's really super, super good for your body to be able to absorb the nutrients, because so many of us eat as the best we possibly can, but then our body, if it doesn't absorb it, then it's not helping us. And these things help your body to cast away all the poisons, all the toxins, and to be able to absorb the nutrients. And that's what their whole company is about, freedomforce.live/detox. So definitely check into that. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are guiding us. You've seen us through this whole time. You've protected our health. You've protected our mental health from all the things that they've attempted to do to us. And you've given us the strength to stand in the middle of this this crazy battle. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to do it. It's only because of you that we could stand in the middle of all this. I thank you, Lord, that you've awakened us, that you helped us to understand, even though maybe we had stony hearts and didn't get it, but you made us able to understand. And I know soon everyone will get it. And just like your promises in your word, that you won't have to tell people to know the Lord. They'll all know you from the least to the greatest. Everyone will understand what's been going on. And I thank you that the enemy will be gone. And you chose us in this fight, the small ragtag bunch of people who are standing and fighting. You chose us for a reason. You knew that we would, that what you had built in us, and that we would be able to stand, and that we would be led by your spirit, like the Ezekiel's wheels turning this way and that way, doing whatever you have led us to do. And we're just very, very honored, very thankful for being able to be in this battle. If we had it to do all over again, we'd do it all the same exact way, because we're just so glad to have been able to be right alongside you fighting in this battle. It's a huge honor. It's a huge honor, riding alongside the King of the world. What an honor. So, Lord, we just pray you continue to give us strength to keep standing, keep speaking truth, to keep fighting. Give us understanding so that we'll know what the truth is, so that we can clearly proclaim the message. Thank you for Tulsi Gabbard and how she worked so hard to expose the truth, protect her husband, and all these who were on the front lines, along with our wonderful President Trump. We just ask that you would guide them in the decisions that they're making right now, even now in at Camp David, that you would just protect them and show them exactly the perfect way so that this is all resolved and that we can move forward and take off into the golden age. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We praise you that you are the King of the world. You are the one that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord. Pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. I love you guys. I'd stayed a little longer than I planned to, but I'm so glad. I hope that was really helpful. And I will see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And so just watch on the social media. If you're not following our social media, definitely give this a like, subscribe, make sure your bell is rung. Go over to Melissa Red Pill. Join us on X, Melissa Red Pill on X, as well as over on our Telegram. I guess that's it, guys. I love you guys. And here's my last video. I will talk to you later.
He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.